Welcome to the Way of the Bible podcast, inspiring and empowering Christians of all measures of faith to simply believe God and follow Jesus. Join in with our host, Bible teacher and guide, Dr. Philip Zimmerman, as he explores the paths through Scripture that lead to life in the will of God, being joyful always, praying continually, and being thankful in all circumstances, simply by believing God and following Jesus. And now, Dr. Z.
Welcome again. This is Dr. Philip Zimmerman and Dr. Z. And you've joined me for episode number 140 of Way of the Bible podcast. So glad to have you with me today. This is our fourth of eight episodes in our 18th mini-series entitled Son of God and Son of Man. On this episode, Fix for Rebellion, we're going to take a one-episode sidebar. As I'm writing, recording, and releasing episodes, I'm also attending to my own spiritual journey following Jesus. In October 2023, I started reading and following a guidebook for completing the Ignatian spiritual exercises. The author of the book provides instructions and prompts for a 7-day-a-week, 32-week journey, which I'm currently in week 25. And week 25 just happens to coincide with the trial and death of Jesus. Now, I was convinced months ago, but God continues to give me daily reminders that He is in absolute charge of everything happening in my life at every possible moment. How is it that I'm in the passion narrative in this book that I'm following? At the same time, I'm usually beginning to write my next podcast, which will be released the following Thursday. I'm writing, recording this podcast on the Saturday before the Thursday release. For a number of reasons I won't go into today, I've long been a proponent for a Thursday crucifixion of Christ rather than the traditional Friday observation. That means my podcast episode for Easter week is going to be released on what I consider to be the actual crucifixion day. Now, how is it I've been looking at this particular day for an entire week in my morning meditations, sitting before Jesus, following this workbook? The week before this day is to be observed globally. All this to say is that we're going to take a brief look today at God's fix for rebellion, which God introduced at the beginning of time and will be completed at the end of time as we know it. Given the gravity of the situation we're dealing with as we read these texts, I will have little to no running commentary and allow room for you and the Holy Spirit to discuss together lessons that the Holy Spirit and Christ have for you today. With all that, let's get started, and we'll start at the beginning. Now, I do have a note before we start that before the 6 days of creation on earth that are described in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible indicates that there was a rebellion in heaven by angelic beings against God. And this rebellion was initiated by the fall of Lucifer when pride was found in his heart because of his beauty. You can find that in Isaiah chapter 14, also in Ezekiel 28. Lucifer, or the devil, took a third of the angels with him in his rebellion. Now, what the Bible also indicates is that God created mankind on earth to end all rebellion, both in heaven and on earth. Mankind's rebellion started in the Garden of Eden, of course, with Adam and Eve. And it will end when Jesus casts the devil, his angels, all those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and death and Hades into the eternal burning lake of fire. That's found in Revelation chapter 20. Then he will create a new heaven and a new earth. But of course, all that comes later. Let's begin with the rebellion on earth, the war in heaven, and the consequences of both on the earth. Let's start in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God is talking to the serpent after the fall of Adam and Eve. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." So right here at the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God is letting the serpent know, or the devil, or Lucifer know, that there is coming an offspring from this woman who is going to crush his head. That is to destroy him, to kill him, to kill Satan, to kill Lucifer. This rebellion in heaven that was started, God's going to finish it with the offspring of the woman. God also says that the offspring of the woman will also receive a strike in the heel from the serpent. So he will be injured by the serpent. Revelation 12:7. This talks about the war in heaven. "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. So there is a war ongoing in heaven that was started at some point before the 6 days of creation on earth. Then we go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, to figure out what's going on with us now. Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Right, so our battle is not against our fellow humanity. Our battle is really with these spiritual beings in the heavenly places. And finally, another passage by Paul from the book of Ephesians comes out of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." So everything that's happening with mankind here on earth has to do with the rebellion that happened in heaven. And we are the fix, right? The fix comes out of Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. "For in him," that's Jesus, "all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." So in Christ, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in mankind. "And through him," that's through Christ, "to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, became mankind, right? That Jesus, mankind, is he who is going to destroy the serpent, Lucifer, the devil, at the end of time when he casts him into the lake of fire. And the final fix comes out of Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" God is going to come and dwell with mankind on the earth forever and ever, and this has been his desire from the very beginning. But the first thing he had to do was to get rid of rebellion. How would rebellion ever occur? It occurred first in the spiritual, that would be in Lucifer, and then it occurred in mankind, and he took care of it all in Christ. And we will show the mechanism of that fix momentarily. What we're going to start next is what I call the servant motif, or the fix for the problem. Comes out of Mark chapter 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So what was Jesus talking about? What Jesus was talking about is identified and described in Isaiah chapter 52 and Isaiah chapter 53. It's unbelievable. I'm going to read this without comment and encourage you to go back and find the text references in the New Testament of what Isaiah is describing here in these two chapters. And there's other passages in the book of Isaiah that he's also alluding to that can be found. It is just the most detailed description of what we're about to see come to pass during Passion Week. Isaiah 52, verses 13 to 15. "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so he will sprinkle many nations, and the kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand." Isaiah continues this in Isaiah chapter 53 for the entire chapter, and I'll read them in sections. First, verses 1 to 3. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 verses 7 to 9. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Isaiah 53:10-12. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13. Through Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Again, you will not find a more detailed passage in regards to what Christ did on the cross at Calvary than right here. The Apostle Paul tells us in the New Testament what Jesus received for his obedience to God of going to the cross. We find this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, and by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now we see Jesus as a victorious king in heaven in Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. It says, and they sang a new song. Of course, the they would be the four living creatures around the throne of God that 24/7 never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Well, this one starts out with verse 9 and says, and they sang a new song. Oh, they sang a new song. So they've been singing this one since for who knows how long. Holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty who was and is to come around the throne of God. And now they're going to sing a new song. And now that Christ has come and taken the scroll out of his Father's hands, what are they going to sing? And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. I just want to stop right there. I haven't stopped this whole time. Jesus Christ, Jesus going to the cross was not by accident. It was not by accident. So when you go this Easter, if you're there today on Thursday, or you go tomorrow for the traditional Friday service and you're contemplating the crucifixion, understand he didn't go there by accident. He went there to rescue us. Because it says, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Continues in verse 11. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then Revelation chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Man. Amen to that, Lord Jesus. Now, that was one heck of a lot of scripture we just went over. And that's where I'm going to leave it right there. I'm not going to go any deeper than that. I encourage you today to go open your Bible to Isaiah chapters 52 and 53 and slowly read at your own pace, beginning at verse 13 in chapter 52 and read all the way through chapter 53. And then find the confirming passages both in the Old and New Testament that tie in with each line. You will be blessed. It is unbelievable what's in there. You'll be blown away and you'll be filled with new confidence that God truly is, as he told Abraham, your shield and your very great reward. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you for listening. Subscribe, follow, rate, and review the show. Show notes and other resources are found on my website, wayofthebible.com. Join me on the path. Write me a note. I would love to hear from you. And let me end this episode as I end all my episodes by saying, simply believe God and follow Jesus. Live as a child of light overflowing with living water in the will of God, being joyful always, praying continually, and thankful in all circumstances. Be blessed, my brothers and sisters.
We hope this episode of Way of the Bible has you feeling inspired and empowered to simply believe God and follow Jesus. Remember to search the scriptures to confirm what you've heard today. And join us next episode as we continue to discover together the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in Christ and be transformed daily by the renewing of your mind. Knowing God's will for you is a life filled with joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. Be blessed.